We're doing Mishlei, we're up to the what's called the fifth chapter, and in what's called the fourth chapter, Shlomo HaMelech said, you know, the advice I'm giving you, my own father gave me. And so when he continues and says, Bini, my son, so one understanding is, he's continuing to quote what his father taught him. That's why he's saying, my father told me, and throughout the previous chapter he kept saying, Bini, Bini, my son, do this, my son, do that. These are all directives that his own father told him, and this is a continuation of that. Remember that this division of chapters is a Christian thing in Mishlei, in most of Tanakh. So here too, this really, we have a pause between the previous pasuk and this one, but this sharp divide of a separate chapter, that's not ours. So one understanding is that this is what his own father told him. And Shlomo HaMelech says, Bini lechochmati hakshiva litvunati hat oznecha. My son, listen to my wisdom. Hakshiva means like obey, accept it. And my understanding, you should at least hear my understanding, so you will be able to gain from it. Lishmo mezimot vidat sifatecha yinzoru. And I'm warning you that your thoughts should always be prepared with plans. Lishmo mezimot, and your lips too should always watch over da'at, that your conversation should be intelligent, and your conversation should be with da'at, with knowledge, intelligent conversation. So Shlomo HaMelech tells him, obey the wisdom I'm teaching you, listen to the understanding I'm teaching you, and then watch over the thoughts, the plans, the knowledge, and your lips should watch over it. So how do your lips watch over knowledge? So I think that one of the ways in which we develop our thoughts in pshat, one of the ways in which thought develops is through talking. You try to explain something to someone, you grow. The fact is that as you teach, you grow. As you explain, you grow. You suddenly realize new insights. I always marvel at how I could be going with a little boy and talking to him and explaining to him simple concepts which I thought I understood. And then as I'm explaining them to him, I suddenly see brand new insights that I never noticed before. If our conversation is an intelligent conversation, so then we grow even in our regular conversation. V'da'at sifatecha yinsohu. Your lips should always watch over your knowledge, that your conversation, your regular conversation, should be intelligent conversation. And it's very tempting sometimes to be joking around and be lightheaded. And Chazal always encouraged us that even when we're taking a break, we take a positive break. You want to just... you need to let your mind rest. Go for a walk. See nature. There are other ways of letting your mind rest. I don't think surfing the web constitutes anything intelligent. I mean, you might stumble upon something intelligent, but 4 out of 5 things you'll stumble upon is pornography and not intelligence. And if not pornography, then what leads to it? So that's not something which I think... news, right, that's also that I don't think that falls under that category. Shlomo HaMelech continues, Pasuk Gimel, and he says, Ki nofet itofna siftei zara lechalak misheemin chika. And here, so we have the simple understanding, and he says, I want to prevent you from seduction, because I want you to know that prostitutes seem sweet. Ki nofet itofna siftei zara. Their lips seem to be dripping of sweetness. V'chalak mishemen chika. And her talk is smoother than oil. So at first glance, it's seductive. And Shlomo HaMelech says, V'achrita marach ala'ana. But ultimately, it is more bitter than bitter herbs. La'ana is a bitter grass. Chadak echerev piyot. It's sharp like a double-edged sword. We had a person in our community who had a great position. a position as a lawyer, top lawyer, and he was caught that he cheated on his wife. Some woman was able to seduce him, and he really brought great hardships on himself, on his children. Go help your daughters get a shidduch that way. His own daughters. He had fantastic girls, and his girls didn't do anything wrong. But who wants to go out with such a family? It's not easy. So although his wife was a wonderful woman, and his daughters were wonderful people, and I'll tell you a little secret, he was a wonderful man himself, and he still is. He happens to be a person who did a lot of good things in life. And he happens to be a fantastic person who made a mistake. And you know what? It's an understandable mistake. That doesn't make it permissible. He did a sin, but it's between him and God. But you know what? When people hear about it, he really hurt himself and hurt everyone else around him. And very often, the beginning seems so sweet and tempting. And at the moment, it is sweet and tempting. But where is it going to lead us to? And that is what Rav Saadia Gaon says is the consistent message of Mishle. The consistent message of Mishle and the Torah at large is to be long-sighted. Look at the long-term. Look at what the final outcome is going to be. And the Torah trains us that self-control leads us to much greater pleasures. And there's a constant struggle within ourselves where our desires are for the short-term, for the quick thrill, and then we pay the heavy price ultimately. It's a lot of fun to eat food that are high in cholesterol. And today, what's the big deal? I can afford it. Right. What happens later? It's a lot of fun to gain weight and not do exercise. What do I need it for? What do I need to sweat for? I got better things to do with my time. Right. But what happens in the long term? So, Shlomo HaMelech told us at the beginning of Mishle that the proverbs of the wise, the proverbs of Mishle and of our sages, they're said in a way that the simple understanding has an important message. And then the deeper understanding has maybe an even more important message, has a deeper message. And so here we first explain the simple understanding, and we have to remember the simple understanding, because the nature of man is that things do attract him. We shouldn't bury our heads in the sand. You could bury your head in the sand, but don't ignore the fact that the nature of the beast, the nature of the human being, is that on the simple level, these things attract him. Chazal tell us that throughout Mishle, when we speak about the temptation of prostitution or a foreign woman, Shlomo HaMelech means on a deeper level the temptations of other religions. And this is where we have to wonder whether the censors here changed the words, whether they're talking about other religions or they're talking specifically about Christianity. And maybe the censors changed it because there's inconsistency in Rashi. Rashi talks about Avodah Zarah and then Apikorsus, and the wording seems to be like someone unprofessional worded Rashi, because Rashi's inconsistent in his description over here of the same allegory. And this happens throughout whenever Rashi starts talking about the foreign woman. And that leads me at least to suspect that maybe the censor changed it here, and Rashi was consistent. He spoke about the Christianity and the temptation, and it fits. Because at first glance, it's very sweet. It's much easier. Torah tells me 613 mitzvot. They're telling me all I got to do is believe in Him. They're telling me all I got to do is have a good heart. So what? So I don't have to eat kosher. Ah, but God says, okay, so we got excuses. We got ways out. At first glance, it's sweeter. But ultimately, suddenly you don't have a Shabbos. Suddenly your children aren't the way you'd like them to turn out. Suddenly things aren't the way you think they're going to be. And then you can't turn back. Sometimes in life, you can't turn back. In the time of the Inquisition, so there were two priests talking to one another. And one said to the other, why are we fighting them? You know, this generation are all fakers. Even though they say they left Judaism, deep down inside, they're still Jewish. So the other priest answered him. He said, yeah, this generation, they're still Jewish. But their grandchildren, they're going to throw stones at Jews. And sometimes people make these mistakes because at first glance, it's easier. And by the time they realize what the price is going to be, they can't turn back. And that's the story of the Jewish people today. So many people came out of the Holocaust and said, and we can't judge these people. I don't mean it in a bad way. Meaning, I don't know what I would look like. I don't know what anyone would look like after the horrors that they went through. And so we can't judge them. But we can glean from the wisdom, seeing how some people came out and said, we're sticking to our tradition. And some people came out and ran the other direction. And then they went and they made all kinds of modifications. And they look at their own grandchildren and they look back and say, I wish I would have done differently. I've gotten phone calls from people who are Holocaust survivors. And they beg me, how can I talk to their kids or their grandchildren to convince them to marry a Jewish girl? If only he'll marry a Jewish girl. And they know that part of the reason that their grandchildren look the way they do is because of the decisions they made initially. And again, we can't judge them. These are people who we can't begin to judge, but we can try to learn for ourselves that very often in life, the sweet route, the easier route, the smoother route, is one that ultimately, Shlomo HaMelech says, "Achritak mara chelana," is more bitter than bitter grass. And I try to do what I can to help these people, but there isn't that much to do because the education can't be changed in a day. And a person that doesn't want to hear anything, there's not much you could tell them. Pasuk hey. But you got to keep trying. And I admire these people that they keep trying. We have to keep trying, and it's admirable that they don't give up on their grandchildren. Raglea yoridot mavet she'ol tse'adeha yitmochu. Her feet really lead the way down to death, and her feet are really supporting perdition, because that's where a person's headed if he goes after her. I had a friend who had AIDS. And he testified to this pasuk. He used to say that. He says, the beginning is sweet, but the end is death. So again, the pasuk has a simple interpretation, and the pasuk has a deeper interpretation. Where does one end up? Orach chayim pentifales nau magiloteha lo teida. So one understanding here, the simple understanding is Orach Chayim, the wisdom of the Torah, the way of life, Pentefales, lest you find yourself aligning yourself with her. Na'uma Giloteha, you should know that her way of life is a path that's veered from the way of life. And lo teida, and you should know that there's no comparison, you won't see any comparison between her way and the way of life. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Orach Chayim, I warn you, stick to the way of life, the way of the Torah, pentefales, lest you find yourself aligning yourself with her, not only being attracted, not only going after the initial attraction, but aligning yourself completely, and then now magilotea, her footsteps which have shifted from the path of life, loteda, you won't see any comparison between her way of life and the real life. And again, if we're to take Rashi's interpretation, that this is talking about the temptation to go to Christianity, so remember, the first Christians were Jews. And the first Christians were offering an easier way. They said, this is the easier way to be a Jew. And initially, it seems like, why not? So Shlomo HaMelech says, I'm going to tell you, Orach Chayim, stick to the way of life, pentefales, lest you find yourself that you've aligned with them, and now magilotea, you're going to find that it's totally off. It's not even comparable. It's not similar. Lo teda. Suddenly you'll find yourself in a way of life that's nothing like you thought you were on. And it's not really a way of life. And the truth is, it's not only about Christianity. We see in our history, every generation had its group within Judaism who decided they're going to modify, they're going to do better. And it could be the Reform movement, it could be the Haskala, it could be the Shomronim, the Kutim, the Tzdukim. Every generation had their group. Shabtai Tzvi. And initially, it seems like, it's attractive. It's good. Shlomo HaMelech says, you'll ultimately, a person who aligns with them suddenly finds himself on a way of life that's lo teina, it's nothing like the life, which is real life, that he'd been on. It seems similar, but it's not. I'm with you.
So if Shlomo Amalek's main intent here is to foreshadow Christianity, then we're talking about Mishlei here, the section of Mishlei that was pretty much dormant for 1,000 years.
No, so that's what I said. Every generation had its temptation. You had Yerubim ben Nevat, you had Korach, you had, every generation had its people who tried to get a following to leave traditional Judaism. Every door and their people. In the days of Chizkiyahu it was Shevna, and every generation had their people. Now, on the simple level, Shlomo is giving us a very good piece of advice. Shlomo HaMelech says, Orach Chayim, when you have to make life's decisions, which path to take, pen tefales, lest you weigh it in her presence. You want to make life's decisions, don't do it when you're in her grasp. Walk away and think. Because the nature of a person is that when he's overtaken with emotion, he's blinded. And very often in life, we are blinded. And when we're blinded, we don't want to hear anyone else. And the key is very often take a step back and think about it. And a step back could mean take a year back. Very often the key to making good decisions is waiting. Shlomo HaMelech says, Orach Chayim pen tefales, lest you make the life's decisions at those moments. A person has to know that there are times in life not to make life's decisions. And that's when he feels he's being seduced. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, I know that you're going to want to give her your whole life. The nature of passion is that a person wants to hold on to it, and he's willing to give up everything. Shlomo HaMelech says, don't make those decisions then. Not when you're within her grasp. Because now Magiloteha, the way her footsteps are traveling, lo teida, you don't know where she's really headed. Yes, she's talking sweetly, but you don't know what's behind all of that. And that's one of the great wisdoms of the book of Mishlei, that Shlomo repeatedly warns us not to trust what we'd like to believe. We always want to believe things. The United States wants to believe the Muslim Brotherhood that promises that they have no interest in war and they're going to uphold the treaties with Israel and they have no interest in supporting terrorism. They just happen to have released the top terrorists who were Hezbollah and appeared in the Afghanistan and the protesting of the Hezbollah in Lebanon this week. They just happen to have been so quick to release so many terrorists out of jail. But it's very convenient to believe certain things, to believe that the danger isn't imminent. So one of the great messages of the book of Mishlei is not to believe things so easily. Shlomo repeatedly warns us, Peti amin lechol davar, a fool believes everything. Don't be a peti. A peti is one, the root of the word peti is the one who is easily seduced, from the word lefatot, to seduce. And we all have that element within us. It's very convenient to believe. We'd like to believe. It's easier to believe. But Shlomo repeatedly warns us, now you don't know where it's headed. And the price ultimately is much harsher. V'atavanim shim'u li, Shlomo HaMelech says, and now sons, listen to me. V'atavanim shim'u li, v'al tasuhu me'im reifi. Listen to me and don't leave what I'm telling you. So, if until now he was quoting his father David, now he says, now listen to me. Until now, I told you that I was the cherished son, so my father gave me this advice, and if this is the advice he gave me, believe me, it's worth listening to, because he cherished me, and so he only gave me good advice. Now he says, now listen to me. You are the sons of Hashem. And if I'm warning you to stay away from certain things that it seems you'd much rather go with your attractions, You should know I'm doing it for your benefit. The way of the Torah is what's beneficial for you. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Harchek me'alea darkecha ve'al tikra vel petach beita. One of the keys here is to stay away from the entrance to her house. Everyone knows where the red district is. Don't go near there. Don't bring yourself to temptation. You know that if you're sitting on the internet at 2 o'clock in the morning, then no one's looking over your shoulder, you might end up somewhere. Ah, you'll say, me, come on. Isn't there surfer protection here at the Machon? Let's not kid ourselves. We're all human. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, distance yourself from her path. Don't go near the entrance to her house. One of the keys in life is to distance ourselves from the stumbling. The intelligent person doesn't let himself come to stumbling. When almost in every instance we see that there were many, many opportunities to prevent a downfall. Every one of us knows that. Nothing happens suddenly. The answer is that deep down inside we wanted it to happen. And there was this constant struggle in between, and it's very convenient to say just this and just that, and before you know it, just everything. So Shlomo HaMelech says, no, stay away. And it's beautiful how realistic Chazal were. You'd think a pious book of Mishlei would talk about pious things. Why talk about prostitutes? But the truth is that part of being pious is being realistic and knowing where one's tendencies lie and knowing to overcome them and knowing to protect oneself from them. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, on the simple level, don't go near the house. Don't go near the entrance that you know can seduce. And on a deeper level, we can say this is about ways of life or philosophies that can easily attract a person. And that's why we very often say we don't enter debates. We're not looking to see every type of philosophy and say, well, how does this work and how does that work? If you have it right, you don't have to keep testing and keep checking. And you never know when a person can stumble and suddenly say, hey, wait a second, I don't have an answer to that. We don't always have the answer at our fingertips to every claim. So we stay away from things that can seduce us on a philosophical and spiritual level as well. Ten titen la'acherim hodecha ushnotecha le'achzari. So that she shouldn't give your glory to others and your life, your years, to the cruel one. The achzari is really the name of the angel in charge of perdition. Pentiten la'acherim hodecha. Because in truth, in heaven, sometimes they allot a person a certain number of years to accomplish a certain number of things. And when a person starts going a different path, sometimes in heaven they say, let's cut him short. And so a person can cut his own life short. And then, ushnotecha la'achzari, so to speak, he's given the remainder of his years up to have a quicker meeting with this angel that's in charge of perdition that's called achzari. So, multiple understandings in this pasuk. So, Shlomo continues, yeah.
This is a different angel or a different place than Duma?
So that you have to see in the Beit Elokim. The Beit Elokim discusses that. The Mabit. Anyways, Duma, the Gemara says, announces before they enter. It doesn't say he's the Tsar of Geinom. It says, Duma kadam u'machriz. Before they die.
Perdition is Gehenna?
Yeah. Pen yisbe'u zarim kochecha va'atzavecha beveit nochri. Lest strangers are satiated from your toils, because people pay money to all these fortune tellers and the confessions, and ultimately they take your money. Va'atzavecha, and what you worked so hard, v'vet nochi, will be in a house of a foreigner. one of the sources of a person's satisfaction in life is when he could leave for his children what he's toiled, where he feels there's a continuum. There are children who are going in his path. There are children who are doing better than himself. There's a continuation. Life doesn't end when he dies. But rather he has children who will live in his house. He has children who will go in his footsteps. He has children who will continue his business. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Penisbe'u zarim kochecha, lest others be satiated from your strength." And this is one of the more powerful warnings. On a very simple level, every person wants to leave over his inheritance to his own children. But that's not the way it's going to go. If a person succumbs to temptation, v'nahamta ve'achriteha bichlot b'sarcha u'sh'erecha, and then ultimately you will sigh when push comes to shove, it towards the end of your life, you'll suddenly see yourself on your way to death. Bichlot b'sarcha, as your flesh is finished. U'sh'erecha, which is another term for a person's own flesh, as you see yourself withering, you'll suddenly say, ve'amarta eich saneti musar. And then you'll say to yourself, how come I hated hearing people rebuke me? How come I hated it when people tried to help me and tell me what was right? V'tochachat na'atz libi, and my heart was disgusted with anyone that tried to rebuke me. No one could tell me wrong. V'lo shamati b'kol morai v'lim lamedai lo hititi ozni. I didn't listen to my teachers. I didn't listen to my educators. I wouldn't hear them. Kimat hayiti v'chol ra b'toch kahal v'eida. For nothing. Kimat. For such a slight pleasure, I caused such harm to myself. B'toch kahal v'eida. Everyone knows what I did now. And for what? When you look back in hindsight, was it worth it? Kimat, for nothing. I for a footstep, I ended up in perdition. And that's usually what happens. After a person does a sin, when he looks back, he says, why'd I do it? Why'd I have to speak disrespectfully? Why'd I have to hurt my parents? Why'd I have to do that on Shabbos? What? You look back and you say, for what? What was it worth? How important was it? One of the tools I think that couples can use in building shalom bayis between one another is to write down every comment they want to make to one another. Every time you want to rebuke, every time you want to make a comment, write it down. Don't say it. At the end of the week, look over the comments. At the end of the week, you look over the comments and you say to yourself, I'm happy I didn't say that. Things went better because I didn't say that. What would I gain had I said that? A person can just pause, write it down, and then he looks back and he says, for what? I had to say, you know, you made the soup too salty again. What difference does it make? What do I gain? I just gained the fight. Kim'at, for something so slight. Hayiti v'cholra, I caused everything to be so bad. In many things in life, if a person can only pause and look back, or be smart enough to pause and look forward, he'll realize that for nothing. It wasn't worth it. I lost much more than I gained. And for what? But again, the problem is, Ora chayim pen tefales. Don't go making these calculations when you're next to her. Because then, when a person's overtaken with passion, that's not the time to make a decision. Shlomo HaMelech gives us the great advice in Pasuk Tetvav. He says, Sheteimayim mi borecha v'nozelim mitoch be'erecha. Drink waters from your own well. You have your own Torah. Why do you have to go looking for other things? V'nozelim, and live water, water that's streaming, mitoch be'erecha, from your own well. Drink from your own pit, drink from your own well. What's that talking about? Be faithful to your wife. Don't go searching for new adventures. God created man that he's always looking for excitement. And excitement begins in all kinds of forms. It can begin within the home. But the truth is, when a person's thirsty, water is the best drink. And by the same token, the truth is that the simple relationship between a man and his wife is like water for a thirsty person. It's the best thing in the world. You think, let me try this juice, let me try that. Yeah, they're all exciting. But none of them are going to satiate you like water will. At the end of the day, when you're thirsty, you come in from a long hike, the best thing you could drink is water. Shteimayim, Shlomo HaMelech says in allegorical form, he says, drink water from your own pit and the stream from your own well. You don't have to drink from anyone else's. Your water tastes just fine. And by the same token, a person's imagination can lead him astray in his marriage. In many things, a person thinks other things are going to be more exciting. Other things are worth trying. And Shlomo HaMelech says, no. Ultimately, you drink your own water. You stay faithful to your own wife. You stay faithful to your own marriage. That's going to be the best, like water that satiates the soul.